Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me as always is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, I'm back.
I just did that from memory because I forgot to scroll up in the notes. I always use the notes as a, like, total, crutch. But yeah, this week, totally from memory. Apparently when you do something 70 times, it sticks in your brain.
Whoa, milestone.
By the way, episode 70.
We did it. We did it. That was our goal, right? 70 and
yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, we're done now.
We're done. We've collectively quit the internets.
Yep, I'm done. Oh man, so done with the internet this week.
Yeah, it's been a tough, weird week.
Yeah, very tough, weird week. So, what have you been doing with your tough, weird week? Playing anything exciting?
Yeah, experiencing all kinds of fun things using this new technology that us Canadians have recently come into called Redbox.
Oh, we have that now?
Yeah, we do.
Since when?
I think it's been around since, the fall, but they haven't really had any, like, well, I guess you should explain what Redbox. Redbox is basically a Redbox vending machine thing. Don't worry, I'm going to go into more detail.
Okay, I was like, wow, you just blew my mind with that, dude. Yeah. I was totally expecting blue, and then you went red, and I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think the back is blue, but you don't see the back because it's usually pushed up against a Walmart. Walmart is blue, though. But anyways, I digress. It's basically Blockbuster in a vending machine is what we'll call it. Yeah, and they haven't really had any good games in it until recently when the newly released God of War game came out in early March. So I picked that up not too long ago.
That came up in March too?
Yeah, it did. It was overlooked mainly because it was sort of like a prequel to a series that's kind of, you know, concluded. I played all the God of War games, so I was like, well, I kind of have to play this one, right? So I finally got to try Redbox, and it's great because you can go online, reserve your game from my computer. I don't have to go to the vending machine and see if it's there. I can do it on my computer, reserve it, enter my credit card. I can walk to the machine, pick it up, and bring it back. It's like $2.50 a night here in Canada, which if you're going to be renting, say, Skyrim, probably better off buying it. But if you're going to rent like God of War, I blasted through it in like 3 days.
Oh, really?
It was like under $10. Yeah, it's a short... All the God of War games are kind of short.
I guess that's a really good idea for things that don't have a multiplayer component that you aren't going to go back to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times or tens of times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is... Like, the God of War games have always been a play for the single player and you're done. But the interesting part about this one is that they have added a multiplayer. And because I rented it, I couldn't access it because I couldn't even give Sony $10 for their online pass to play the multiplayer portion. You have to buy it. From what I was able to tell, I couldn't buy the pass. You have to buy it in store. So I don't know how it works. Maybe I just missed it. I'm going to assume that I missed it because there's no way they would cripple a used copy of God of War that badly.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's an online pass, and I didn't buy it. But evidently, that's the best part of the game, because the single player is kind of lacking.
Oh, really? Is it a combat thing or a story thing? Like, what's the problem? Why didn't you enjoy it? Because I know there's a lot of people that speak very highly of the franchise. I've never played it, but...
The franchise is fantastic. However, this is sort of like a one-outing-too-many kind of scenario, where it's feeling tired, and the whole trope of the God of War game is... awesome, tight combat, killing things, tearing things apart, blood, gore, boobs, all that kind of fun stuff.
Oh my god, dude, I have a boob story. But anyways, well, continue.
I will transition into your boob story, don't worry. So this game's kind of lacking because it just sort of feels tired. And the whole point of these games is like, oh, there's that god you know, Hercules, Athena. And God of War 3 has been out long enough. You basically kill all of them in God of War 3.
Oh.
So in the prequel, you'd say, well, you know what?
I thought they were immortal.
Well, but Kratos is the son of Zeus, so he has the power to kill a god. He actually kills Hercules, which is voiced by Kevin Conroy.
Oh.
So the guy who actually was Hercules.
I don't think I like this game.
Why, you like Kevin Conroy? Is it Kevin Conroy? No, it's not.
I generally like just Greek mythology, and thinking about all of those gods just dying kind of makes you go, whoa.
But they die in gruesome and hilarious, not hilarious, just gruesome ways, but that's just Kratos' thing. He's very angry. In this one, It's a prequel, so you don't. Kratos doesn't really know what's going on. He's pissed, but he can't really grasp why he's pissed. So the entire game is based around him sort of piecing together why he's being held captive by these what they're called Furies, these three sort of demigod beings that are holding him captive for breaking his oath with the God of War. And that sort of sets off the whole series because you basically team up with the God of War to become an all-powerful being, and then the God of War casts you aside. And yeah, it's confusing game story, but in this one, it's really convoluted. It's one of those stories where it starts in the future, then goes back 2 weeks, then jumps back to the present, then jumps back a week. Yeah, a couple times I found myself thinking, okay, wait, is this the present or is this the past? Why didn't I use that item?
Which one is the present again? If I'm skipping to the future, does that mean the past is the present? hate that.
Well, it's bad enough it's all in the past because it's a prequel, right? So it totally messes with your head. I still enjoyed myself. There was some points in the middle of the game where it felt really like I was dying a lot, and it was mostly due to like falling into pits, which is very, like the platforming sucked. I would constantly be falling off into these pits, but this one is almost like laughably designed by 12-year-old boys. Every other monster has a set of boobs that are hanging out, just nipples and all. You can see everything. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's weird. And we've had the boob discussion before about.
I think it was around Terra.
Yeah. It's you know, it's a thing. But this is above and beyond. I know in a lot of Greek mythology that they kind of showed that stuff. But this is over the top. And there's even a... Like, every God of War game has...
Usually, in Greek mythology, it was artistic boobs. It was like, you know, statues and paintings and...
Yeah. And
not like... Just swinging everywhere and combat and stuff.
There is a monster...
No, women wouldn't have fought. Anyway, sorry, tangent.
No.
I'm back.
It's a good tangent because, like, Medusa is this, you know, basically the structure of a Medusa monster. Yeah, her boobs are just hanging out. It's like it's scaly.
Terrigan. I was thinking that Joel and I were talking about StarCraft when we were walking home.
Oh, that's perfect.
Terrigan with her Zerg hair is pretty much Medusa. Joel is making cracks about, like, her hair coming alive and being all Zergy.
Right, exactly. It's basically like that. Yeah. And so that's something that kind of feels like they focus tested with 12-year-old boys. And I get it. The combat's a lot of fun, but some of those things just kind of stood out to me. And you kind of just have to look away. It's a God of War game, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the gore in this one is ramped up.
Mamma mia!
Anyways, was I talking about gory gore?
Yes, you were talking about over-the-top gore and how awesome that was.
It's awesome, but in
or
this one...
Or not awesome. I don't know. I lost you.
It's awesome, but in this one, it sort of goes a little over the top. I was... fighting this elephant monster, and basically how you kill him is you pull him to the ground with your swords, and then you just, there's a mini game where you're just hitting his head, stabbing him over and over again, and then finally you pull the knife down over his skull and it pops open and his brain comes out.
Oh
yeah, it's just, it's like, I don't, that's just like, I can handle you know.
And yeah, I've noticed that lately in games where it seems like it's gone from really gory, like, the kind of the worst it used to be would be a sniper rifle shot where you'd have a scope and you could kind of like see somebody's head exploding through your scope, and that was as bad as it got. And then you got up to kind of pistol kills, and then so there was kind of blood spurting out of wherever you hit them. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of got up to melee kills looking like, you know, some of the BioShock stuff. And the BioShock's not the only one. Like, there's a lot of games that kind of ramped up their gore around your melee kills. Mm-hmm. And then now it just seems like they're all trying to outdo each other with, like, well, how many insides can we make explode right in their face in all these different ways? And it's kind of like, it doesn't necessarily make it a better game just having all these shock gore parts, you know?
Like, God of War, to me, was always really cool because you felt like a badass. You were literally tearing people apart, and it was never this bad. It just feels like they the other three, they stepped up to the line spit across it and that was fine. In this one, it feels like they're just skipping across it and not going so far that it's bloody disgusting and I had to stop playing, but just it's just a little too far for me. And we'll move away back to the boob part. Every God of War game has like this sex scene, and it's a God of War trope. It's basically to teach you. This is going to sound bad for anybody who hasn't played a God of War game, but it's to teach you the mini game aspect, like the button mashing. And I'm not kidding. Literally in God of War 2, there is a threesome and you have to push the buttons. You don't see anything, mind you. Just polygon boobs before you start. And then really what the point of the game is, I'm glad this game's popular because everyone's going to think I'm weird. But the point of the mini game is to knock this vase over. And it's literally a sex mini game. And in this one, they don't have the sex mini game. You just walk into a room and it's a vision. And there's like literally like 10... topless women walking around, and unfortunately I'm playing and my girlfriend's in the other room and she comes in and it's like, what the hell are you playing? I was like, it's God of War. If you knew, it'll be over in 5 seconds. That one's probably a monster of some kind trying to kill me. Don't worry about it. So yeah, it's,
I'm
just
not here by choice, I swear.
Yeah, it's like, this is gonna be over soon, I can't skip it, I swear. Yeah, so it's just this one kind of felt tired, you know. It's like, put it away for a couple years. Like, we God of War 3 felt like I was done with the series, and this one kind of proves it. It's just and a lot of people had the same issues that I did, like it's a lot of the same criticisms.
Quickly, just I want to point out the chat room's currently saying that gore has been around forever, just something sometimes it seems out of place, and I agree. I think what I was saying more was not that there's more gore than there used to be. It's just different kinds of gore. It's like, now we have the graphic capabilities to do these things, and developers are taking advantage of that. And so we're kind of getting more in-your-face detailed gore, which I don't know if games always benefit from that. That was all I meant. But I do realize that gore obviously has been in games as long as there's been gore. I mean, like, from cute little pixel blood all the way up to, you know, the Call of Duties and the God of Wars of the world. So
yeah, I think it's just evolved with the graphics, you know. Yeah, it just feels like it's more present now. And like, God of War is always, if anybody in the chat room or is listening to this episode is saying God of War's always been graphic and gory, it's like, that's true, but it felt like this one, you know, took that, ran with it too far.
Went like, a little further,
like,
yeah.
They took the football. Like, they got the touchdown, but then they took it out of the stadium. It's like, guys, you scored. We have another play to do.
Bring it back now.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to play another God of War game, but not anytime soon.
Yeah, fair enough. So, speaking of games that I don't want to play again anytime soon, I played more SimCity. And granted, I did actually sit down and play. I didn't get booted. I was able to actually play Cities. And I probably ended up playing for about 5 hours. So I got a solid look at the game. Still sucks.
Well, they had a cheetah speed back, Jocelyn.
They did. They gave me cheetah speed, which was really good, because without cheetah speed, I wouldn't have played for 5 hours. Because at least with cheetah speed, it let me get through the city faster. But I did figure out how to make SimCity fun, though.
Oh.
If you make a region that is, I think I made mine 6 or 9 cities, I can't remember, and then make it private and don't invite any of your friends and claim all the cities for yourself, then it's about the same size as what original SimCity let you play with, and you have enough room that you can build, like, the suburbs where all your people live, and then, you know, your main city where all of your commercial tourism is, and then you can have an industrial city like Poop Town where all of the, you know, pollution and sewage and stuff is that you don't want, and you are always online when you need yourself to be online, so you can volunteer services from all of your cities to all of your other cities, so you don't need other people, and then the game was fun.
Okay, so is that working now? You can kind of have a power plant sort of all facilities city, and you can send that to your other cities? Because that was one of the breaking points that I had, because that's still sent over the server. It's not done locally.
See, I honestly, every single person that I was part of a region with, every single one of those people said has not been here in 4 or more weeks. has not played since March 12th. Has, with the exception of one guy who, Scotty D, that I was playing with, that he was actually running our region. So he was actually playing, and I think he's said, like, last played 13 days ago or something. So, I mean, like, but he is obviously the exception. Everybody else played for the first week of March and gave up. So I didn't have any problems because, yes, you're right. Even though it's me managing all of my cities, all of that is still sent to and from the server. Mm-hmm. But because there's nobody playing anymore, there's not that lag on the servers, so I didn't have any problems. I was jumping back and forth between my cities all the time. So it was more fun playing by myself because it gave me the room that I needed to do what I wanted to do with the game. Okay. So it was more interesting. It still is nowhere near as good as SimCity used to be, and it really makes me angry that they've ruined the franchise, essentially. Like, people coming to SimCity for the first time, like, I loved SimCity, and I loved the franchise back, you know, 10 years ago. And I'm just, it makes me so sad to see what they've done with it, because it could have been so good. And I know that there are some people playing who are really enjoying it, but, like, everyone who played it should have really enjoyed it.
I want to get back into it. I saw the cheetah speed was added back, and I thought, maybe this would be a good time to boot it back up. But then I saw news that we're going to be getting a 2.0 patch next week at some point.
Oh, really?
I didn't read the patch notes, but I guess it's a significant restoration of features plus, like, minor new features.
Well, yeah, because there still aren't any leaderboards or achievements or any of that kind of stuff. That's all still disabled. So, I don't know. And I did not download that freaking Nissan station. Yeah, I know it's free and it's only around for 6 months, but the fact that that's their first DLC just makes me so... It just shows what EA has done to the franchise. And, I mean, just they've ruined it in every sense of the word, and I can't support that.
Did you see the second piece of DLC they put out?
No, I didn't. I missed that one.
It's like sponsored by Crest, but you have to actually buy toothpaste and floss to get it.
Oh my god. I thought you were gonna say there was gonna be like a big smiling billboard that was gonna say, like, smile, you're playing The Sims.
Oh, I don't even know what it is, right? I don't know what you get, but I know that once I read you have to buy toothpaste and floss to get it, I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it seems like they're using it to make money as opposed to trying to provide a quality game to fans of the series, fans of the company, and and I know that everyone's probably yelling at me right now and saying, well, EA never did this. EA has always been like this. But, I mean, it seems like they're not making games for gamers anymore. They're making games for money, and I know everyone, you know, wants to make profit and blah, 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 but I don't know. I'm very disappointed. EA, I'm not angry anymore. I'm just really disappointed.
Uh-oh.
You should probably go to your room.
I see EA, yeah, they want to make money, but I still think there's a glimmer of hope there. Like, they still want to put games out, maybe every other game out, that is fun and rewarding for the customer. Like, I look at titles like, say, Dead Space 3, that's part them trying to make money with the DLC thing that kind of exploded, and part them trying to make a good game, you know? And it is a good game. And then you look at, say, stuff like Army of Two 3, which is them trying to make money and is an awful game. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to defend them, and for every example of good they do, there's many examples of bad, and we probably won't see them turn around for another couple of years. I mean, they fired their CEO, and Peter Moore has been making comments about how he wants to make the company better. I don't know.
But at the same time, like, I mean, he seems to be making comments saying that he wants to improve, but then in the same breath saying things like, and not that his comments are wrong, but when EA won the Worst Company in America award, his comments were like talking about how other companies have done so much worse, and how what was the company that was responsible for the oil spill, what are they called?
BP.
Thank you. Yeah, so he was like, oh, and BP is such a terrible American company. I was like, dude, the B stands for British. Like, oh. They're not an American company, but thanks for coming out.
Now, like, I know BP is an oil company, but when I first saw that, because I had never paid attention, but years ago, when I first saw that, I thought they were talking about Boston Pizza. I'm like, what? I don't get it. I know.
But yeah, so, you know, and so he makes comments like that instead of owning the fact that they haven't done well. He says, you know, oh, there's so many people that are worse than us, which is a fair statement. There are a lot of bad companies. But then he went on to say things like, oh, it just shows that, you know, these internet things are meaningless and it's just a bunch of angry nerds and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, dude, whoa.
Yeah, it seemed defensive in a way.
Very, very offensive to us and like very defense on him, and I just, oh man, it was awful. And I was like, really? Yay, you're not helping. No. You're not helping.
And I mean, what future, like the most recent project that's going to be released by them is probably Battlefield 4, and some of the comments coming out of that is, you know, this game is going to have feeling and be the best game to make you feel, and they keep using that feel word as if games have never made you feel before.
Yeah.
And the single player is going to be so great and touching and all that. And then you...
Did they not see our episode on Heart of the Swarm? Because heartstring!
I think that was that sort of news came out around the same time Bioshock Infinite was releasing, and people are just like, evidently these guys have been so busy making this touchy-feely Battlefield that they didn't play Bioshock
Anything
Infinite.
Anything else.
And... teaches, like, I mean, maybe they have made an amazing single player campaign for Battlefield 4. I don't know. We won't find out until November, but or October. But it still seems weird that they're still approaching advertising and marketing the same way they have when they know they've been doing bad, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, SimCity, like I said, I did end up playing about 5 hours. I was kind of enjoying it. I'm getting the hang of it. It is really different than previous versions. So a lot of the mechanics are different. A lot of the placement of things is different. You can't really move things around, which is weird. So without like fully bulldozing it and having to rebuild it. So it's kind of a different way of playing. I don't really think I'm going to spend a whole lot of time with it anytime soon again, which I'm really disappointed in. But at the same time, I mean, there's so many other great games out there that I have better things to spend my time on. I just kind of wish I hadn't sunk so much money into this right off the bat, but whatever. Yeah.
It was expensive.
It was. So yeah, that was my SimCity experience. I am done with it now. So just go build your own region, make it private, and then claim all the cities. And then it's like kind of like old SimCity, at least space-wise. So there you go. Pro tip of the day. Totally stole that from Husky. Shh.
the pro tip of the day, or that he suggested you play SimCity?
Pro tip of the day!
Oh. Well, I haven't seen Husky. You should have taken...
Should have taken credit for that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure a lot of A-Move people have seen Husky cast Bronze League Heroes, so I can't take all credit for that.
I don't know. It's not like this network's named after a RTS Star move of some kind.
So what else have you been playing?
I've had some weird occurrences in Heart of the Swarm. That we had some enlightening stuff happen last week where someone came on and explained the whole ladder system to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a 2v2 match. I've been playing with my buddy Adam a lot, and we're doing pretty good. We're progressing to the high end of silver.
Good.
And we were on the high end of bronze one night, and we're playing a game, and we were about to lose, and then the other team quit.
Oh.
They both quit at the exact same time. We were like, what the hell just happened? Like, we were about to get our ass... We were about to literally type GG and surrender, and they quit, and we got out, and all of a sudden we're bounced up to silver, and I'm like...
That just goes to show you. Don't quit till you lose your last unit. Even if they say GG, don't quit until they quit.
I know, but
That's happened to me before, where they've been like, oh, GG, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then so I go and quit the game, and then it's like, oh, you were defeated. And I was like, what? But that was like 15 seconds after they said GG, and that's what some of them do, is they will say GG, they will get you to stop playing, and if you're too quick to say, you know, exit game or whatever, then... Yeah.
We had contemplated maybe it had to do
cheesy stuff going on in Bronze League.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it was weird. It took us off guard, but then we ended up winning a bunch of matches, and I'm really enjoying Zerg, and But other than that, that's really the only weirdest thing that happened. Oh, we played the same guy in ladder, the same team in ladder twice, which was weird.
Twice in a row?
Yeah, like twice in a row. We played a game, and then we hit play again. We won the first one. We hit play again, and I'm like, those names look familiar. And I typed all. I'm like, did we just play you guys? And they're like, yepers. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm going to do the opposite of what I did before.
Yeah, really.
And it turned out we had the units to counter theirs because they tried to counter our old strategy. Yeah. So,
ooh, look at you.
I don't know. I'm not that good, but
yeah,
my teammate is really good at Protoss, and he just makes a lot of good, like, what do they call it? Like a meatball or something?
Void rays?
No, like, it's
I know, I'm just kidding.
Well, void rays, yes. Void rays are involved in this sort of ball of death.
Ball of death, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's, yeah, ball of death. It's kind of like a combination of units that seem to be the be-all, end-all, and if they have just, like, a smidgen more units, they'll take you out. So that just seems to be the reason we win every time.
I found I was losing a lot of matches because I just didn't make enough units. And so I've kind of got to the point now where, I mean, I'm still not spending my money fast enough. So I still think I'm doing something seriously wrong with my build. But I've started making a whole lot more buildings, which I wasn't doing before. I used to play, and I mean, I'm just the chat room, just ignore what I'm about to say to you right now. But I used to play off of like two barracks, a factory, and then like two starports. And I couldn't make enough dudes, obviously. But I was just like, I don't know why I keep losing. And I mean, I was losing to AI, I was losing in unranked. Like, these aren't the ladder games I was complaining about last week. This was just when I was still learning. And so I was sitting there and I would just be like, playing off of these like five production buildings and just like losing. And I was like, I don't understand. I have all the buildings I'm supposed to have. Like, I've built as many different, like, I was trying to think of having a diverse assortment of buildings as opposed to thinking I need to build 10 barracks before I start, you know, like I can have a factory and some starports to get some medevacs, but you know, like my bulk of my army should probably be made up of marines or, you know, whatever. And I was never even getting close to supply capped, right? So but I've changed now. I've seen the light. I've changed. I promise.
That is good.
Yeah, so I'm getting better. I played Kishel today, which was a whole lot of fun. Yep.
Did she get Heart of the Swarm?
Yes, she did, yeah.
Ah, so good.
Yeah, so I played her and we had a good time and I ended up winning, but it was definitely a battle. And then but I find I cannot beat Joel. Not because I think he's better than me, but because it really stresses me out playing against him. And to the point that I just, like, I know him so well, obviously, that, like, I get to his front door, because we've played 2v2 so much, and given what I see, I can be like, well, yeah, I'm screwed, so surrender. And most of the time, I'm just like, surrender, like, because I just find, like, he can just roll over me so easily. And again, like, it's not because he's better, it's because I, like, if I were playing anyone else at his skill level, I think I'd be fine, but because it's him, there's this, like, mental block there for me, where I'm just like, oh, well, I'm not gonna win anyway, so why am I even bothered to play?
That's funny you mention that, because I had a similar situation. Like, we always seem to lose against Terran and Protoss, because I'm a Zerg, and I like to send my Zerglings in. I know I'm annoying right away. And every Terran I play, now that we're in Silver, is really good at blocking off those ramps. Mm-hmm. So when a Terran pops up, we're like, shit, you know, I'm not going to be able to rush, and it's going to throw off my whole build. We're going to lose. And the one match, we're just like, this is our last match of the night. Let's just go for it. You know, let's not rush. Let's just hit them when we get our units, and we'll see how we do. And we adapted, and it's all, like, StarCraft's all about switching up your strategies based on what you see, and we won. So maybe you just need to be like, just throw the rule book out and just, you know, just pretend you're facing some, you know, Silver dude or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I just find, like, I think too, it's because he knows me so well. So he always knows, like, because I'll be like, okay, I'm really, really bad at, like, figuring out how to counter things, right? Mm-hmm. So he'll if he has siege tanks in the first game we play, then the next game we play, I'll be like, okay, he's going to do siege tanks, and then I'll have banshees. So then he has Vikings because he knows I'm going to have banshees. And I'm just damn it.
You got to scout. You got to get your... for Terran, I don't know what the best way to scout is, but build a couple, like, air units and get in there and just kind of...
Yeah, well, Reapers too, right?
Reapers, yeah. And like,
they just melt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty much any unit in the game can one-shot a Reaper, even a probe.
Yeah, they're early sort of stuff, and I remember when I played Wings of Liberty, they were really popular in the beginning because they would just tear apart your workers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about scouting, and all about, I find, especially with ladder play, if you I took out a guy's, a team's expansions, just went around and killed them all, and they quit, because, I pissed them off so much that I was, basically taking their economy.
That's
and tearing
another
it
thing
too.
That I've started to do is, instead of going at their main base, because I find that unless you destroy them in the first 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you can't take the main base. Like, everyone has gotten really good at defending their main base, but if you can deny all of their expansions, then, you know, it's pretty much the way that I've been able to win is by making sure I secure mine really, really early,
mm-hmm.
and then moving out and denying theirs, and then that usually is successful. But I find also a lot of people, I play a very, very macro style game. Like, you know, I have money coming out the wazoo. I don't even know where that is, but that's where all my money comes from. So I find that, that I have, I constantly have tons and tons of money. Like, I mean, I can lose my entire army and have it back in no time because I have the economy to back it up.
Right.
But I find a lot of people don't necessarily do that they just kind of rush and run at you with, you know, whatever they've got, and they're not really concerned with actually building up bases and an economy and playing a long game. They want to end everything as fast as possible. So, you know, you get rushes of stuff, and you get, you know, not necessarily balanced unit composition. It's just kind of like, I have 10 of these, so I'm going to throw them at you and hope that you can't counter it. And then I'm going to do it again, and then I'm going to do it again. And if I haven't won in 15 minutes, well, then you're going to have to come at me and melt on my front door.
Yeah. It's such a... And every game is different that you play.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's one of the attractions of StarCraft, right? Is that you can play 20 times in a day and never play the same type of match, even if you play all TVT.
It's the worst for, one more game. Let's just one more game.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, like, I've
been up till 5 in the morning so many times, and I'm literally like...
5 in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, my time or your time?
My time.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
What, do you work in the morning?
Yeah.
Oh, that is bad. See, I
really bad. So I sleep for an hour and then go do a 12-hour shift.
What? How are you alive?
I'm not.
Oh.
It's zombie Joplin.
Oh, my God. No, recently, I've been, not 5 a.m., but not recently, but the last couple weeks ago, I was having the issue where I would stay up till 2 in the morning on a weekday, and then 4 a.m. on the weekends, and I'm like, I'm not, you know, once 2 a.m. rolls around, I'm not even enjoying myself. It feels like it's a job all of a sudden. It's like, oh, I better finish this level in Tomb Raider, oh, there's a little Bible thing to pick up, you know, it's... So I stopped doing that recently, but I feel your pain.
Yeah,
StarCraft.
Definitely. So we're running out of time again.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna say quickly that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16, but 16 does not become 32, because that would be insanity mode. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to Quickfire News.
Mm-hmm. And Ubisoft is saying that we're all ready for Always Online. So it seems each week we've got a new Always Online story for you, whether it's related to the new Xbox reveal or SimCity. And this week is no different. Ubisoft CEO Yanis Mallet... I don't think that's how it's pronounced, was asked if consumers are prepared and answered, that's a question you should put to Microsoft and Sony. I would say that a lot of people are already always online through other devices. I would suspect that the audience is ready. Continuing, Mallet agreed that an always online service needs to provide clear benefits for the user. Can Microsoft make the benefits shine brighter than the SimCity launch or the hit on secondhand games? That's the supposed May unveiling is coming up very soon, so hopefully we'll know something.
The Girl Scouts are getting a game badge. Not long after the Boy Scouts revealed that their new video game badge design badge, sorry, their new video game design badge that we covered a few weeks back, it looks like the Girl Scouts are set to follow suit. The Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles are working with Women in Gaming International to draw up the requirements for earning the badge. They are also working with the government's STEM initiative, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, so it looks like it will be another programming-centered badge, much like the Boy Scout version. More details to come.
Hmm. Bethesda's new project is The Evil Within, the new game from Shinji Mikami, the mind behind survival horror game series Resident Evil. Is being developed by Tango Gameworks and published by Bethesda. The announcement trailer is all live action and shows no gameplay. However, the tone of the game is most definitely set. So much so, I literally jumped in the opening bits. And after that, what you
was
see
was it the
is,
hand?
Yes, it was the hand. It's just, I was watching, it's like, okay, this is interesting. And then I jumped. I was like, I have not been scared by a trailer, no less, in a very long time. But the game will feature highly crafted environments, horrifying anxiety, and an intricate story weaving together to create an immersive world that will bring players to the height of tension. The game will launch next year on PS3, 360, PC, and next-generation consoles. A first look is teased on the game's Facebook page this Monday. Should be interesting.
I will not be playing this game. That trailer scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
No.
I think maybe I'll keep an eye on it, but I don't think I'll play it. Because you're right, it does look a little too scary.
It's a little bit too intense. It's a little too Saw. It's just, it's very...
Yeah, I gotta...
It's too much for me. And
Hostile.
I know that... Yeah, Hostile. Yeah, that's another good comparison. But yeah, it's a little bit too much for me, so I definitely won't be playing that, which is too bad, because, I mean, it's not that it looks like a bad game, it's just, I can tell from the trailer it's not my thing.
Not your thing. That's all good.
Nothing wrong with that. So, we have some controversy coming out of Korea around Nintendo and Twitter. Nintendo Korea's official Twitter is caught up in a bit of a controversy that I know a lot of us that manage multiple Twitter accounts can relate to. Although Nintendo denies it, it looks like an employee chose the wrong Twitter account to tweet from. Degrading comments about a South Korean TV personality tweeted from the official Nintendo account instead of their own personal account. Nintendo is denying that the comments were sent by anyone working for the company, and it is treating this as a glitch or a hack. But come on. We all know how hard it is to keep multiple accounts straight, so remember, kids, check twice, tweet once.
Nice. I think this is just a conspiracy, and North Korea is behind it all. Xbox may revive Heroes. Remember that cool show that ran for one season and then sort of went away? No, not Firefly. I'm talking about Heroes. TV Line is reporting that Microsoft is looking to bring back Heroes as part of their original programming lineup under the Xbox brand. The revival of the sci-fi series would feature new characters and stories and could bring in heroes from the show's original run as cameos. And yes, before you send in your emails, I know Heroes ran for 3 seasons, but really I try to block the last 2 out of my head.
The Double Fine game gets a name and a teaser trailer. And tease it does. There's no voiceover to the trailer, just a few animated scenes depicting a boy and a girl going about their lives. The description from the site, which is brokenagegame.com, which I totally spelt wrong. It's not actually Borken, because that doesn't make sense. It says, Broken Age is a point-and-click adventure telling the story of a young boy and girl leading parallel lives. The girl has been chosen by her village to be sacrificed to a terrible monster, but she decides to fight back. Meanwhile, a boy on a spaceship is living a solitary life under the care of a motherly computer, but he wants to break free and lead adventures and do good in the world. Adventures ensue. Those of you who aren't aware, Broken Age is the result of a record-breaking multi-million-dollar Kickstarter project from Double Fine about a year ago. They pay homage to these backers in the trailer, saying it is a game from Double Fine Studios and 90,000 of their closest friends. The game is set to release in Q2 2013. Beta access is available to those who pre-order now on the game's website. Which brings us to our topic of the week. Totally cut you off there, dude.
No. I was just clearing my...
clearing your throat there?
No. I forgot already. No, it's all good. Keep going.
So we are actually going to talk about everything that Nintendo announced at their Nintendo Direct event this past week. So Ryan got a very exciting release date announcement.
Yeah, I heard Pikmin 3 is coming out in just a few months, which equates to August. When is August? Is not a few months from now.
Yeah, August is also not in the release window of a console that came out in October, November.
Yeah,
it's almost a full year. That's not release window.
I agree. And it's like, I was looking at the list of Nintendo published, or sorry, not Nintendo published, because I would be cheating, but Nintendo developed, because there are a lot of Nintendo published titles that have come out on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. But developed, not many. The last one was Super Mario, and then I think there's a Wario game coming out, but those are fun, but I don't really count it as a core hardcore title. So I haven't bought a Wii U game in
months
since Christmas. Mm-hmm. So it's really disappointing.
We're almost at the end of April.
I know, so yeah, that's... months, but I wanted to equate it to months, February, no, like December, like launch window, what I would equate to the launch window. So depressing, but it looks so good. It looks good.
At least it's coming. At least it hasn't been canceled or severely delayed. I mean, you know.
Yeah. August, yeah.
Is better than never.
If they had announced August in November, that would have been bad. But I suppose waiting until April and then finding out it's coming in August isn't a huge deal. And that's
okay, so question.
What?
If you had known that you were going to have to wait till August, would you have purchased a Wii U in November?
Probably. Just
because. Okay, you're a fanboy.
I know. I'll be the first to agree with you. I am a fanboy, and I have enjoyed my Wii U. And I, with the virtual console promotions they've been doing, where it's like a new game every month for 30 cents, I've sort of been jumping on there, buying it and playing it. So I am still playing the Wii U, but just not as much as I would hope.
Mm-hmm. Not as much as a console, as expensive as it is, should take up of your time, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to spend hundreds of dollars on something, you want it to eat up a huge chunk of your time. So do you feel that it's been a good investment so far? Or?
No, not at all.
Yeah. It's too bad.
It's off. I'll be the first to tell you that I enjoyed the time I've had with it, but do I feel as though I've, you know, gotten my money's worth yet? No, not really. But after a couple of Nintendo titles come out, maybe my tune will change. And I really do think it's a great console, and it's got some great concepts, and it's going to be the next Wii, where it's just I turn it on every 3 months or every 6 months or whatever when a new Nintendo title comes out. Like, that's all what it's always been for me.
I finally took mine out of the box, by the way. It's set up now. I have my TV all set up, and my Wii is actually out of the box. And
nice.
I got a new dresser, so I basically reorganized my room and put my TV on top of the dresser. So I'm going to have to stand up to play Wii stuff. But
well, you'll have to, because you'll be doing this. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm just sitting there doing this again.
Yeah.
And this, occasionally, which isn't that bad. But this, no thank you.
Yeah, too much, yeah. So we got the release date for Pikmin, which is coming, so huzzah. But it seems to me that lately they've been really focusing on the 3DS and what is coming out on those. And so we've got a new Zelda game coming, a new Mario Party game, and a new Yoshi's Island. So, I mean, I love Mario Party. It's probably one of my favorite Nintendo franchises, because they're just so much fun when you can get a group of people together and play a whole bunch of mini games with Mario and all the characters and stuff. Like, I really enjoy the Mario Party titles. So I don't really know how that would work on a 3DS, because I've never had the portable Nintendo consoles. So I don't know, is it the kind of thing where you all sit in a room and all have your 3DSs and play against each other, or like, how does it work?
There wasn't a lot of details, but from what I saw, it's still... It adds more modifiers to the game board. I think they mentioned local play, obviously, but knowing Nintendo, there probably isn't going to be online play, which sucks. They'll probably reserve that for the Wii U outing, whenever that comes around. But yeah, I think the portable titles for the most portable titles that come out on the 3DS and previous versions have always been the whole, like, okay, everybody get their 3DS out or their DS out and sit on the couch and play together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of unfortunate, because I would like to see an online Mario Party. And Mario Party, I'm a big fan of that as well.
Yeah. So the Zelda game mm-hmm. is very interesting to me, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I still haven't played all the way through Link to the Past, so nobody get angry and send emails, please, because I know. John told me when we had him on episode 15, so literally a year ago, that I really needed to get on it and play Link to the Past, and it's sitting on my Wii right now, my virtual console, unplayed, so... Sorry. Well, not unplayed. I've started, but...
how far are you? I can't not remember very. What you're trying to collect.
Not very.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But I do... I mean, I just love Zelda and the world of Zelda, and I've been reading a lot of the 25th anniversary book and all the history, and it just... Mm. It's such a rich universe, and I really enjoy it. So the fact that they're still putting out Zelda titles makes me happy, and the fact that they're going back to their roots, as it were, also makes me happy. So I don't know. This announcement definitely makes me think that the 3DS might be something that I should pick up.
Yeah, it this caught me off guard. I believe it was a year ago, like last E3, Miyamoto was asking journalists, like, what would you rather see, a remake of Majora's Mask or a sequel to A Link to the Past?
Mm-hmm.
He's wanted to make a sequel to A Link to the Past for a very long time, and what Miyamoto wants, Miyamoto usually gets. So
it's not necessarily a sequel. I know mm-hmm. that the sequel term has been thrown around, but yeah. The way that they're talking about it is that it is a game set after and in the same time period and universe.
Same world,
Same world, exactly, of Link to the Past. I don't know if it's necessarily a sequel in the way that we're used to sequels. I mean, like, for instance, Majora's Mask is not a sequel to Ocarina of Time, per se. Whereas, right. you know, you have... I'm trying to think of one that was actually a direct sequel.
Zelda 2? No. I'm being serious. If you go to, like...
I thought you were just making fun of me.
No, I think that's, like, the only sort of... Well, okay, I guess if you want to go, like... I see what you're saying. Like, I think it's Ocarina of Time to Wind Waker, where Wind Waker is a direct sequel to Ocarina of Time, 1,000 yes. years. Even that doesn't work, because the timeline splits 3 times at Ocarina.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Ocarina of Time.
So Zelda 1 to 2.
We'll we'll just stick with that. But anyways, and I think that there's a lot more actual straight sequels in the portable Zelda gaming world as opposed to the console Zelda gaming world. Mm-hmm. The console, like you said, with the 3 possible outcomes of Ocarina of Time, makes it very difficult for the console to, well, I guess, difficult to do sequels in the console world, but at the same time gives them a lot of options of what the world could look like, so gives us a lot of titles that we could possibly have in the Zelda universe. So, I mean, it obviously pluses and minuses to having 3 different outcomes of a game, so cool. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot more direct timeline sequels. And the description that they're giving to this new Link to the Past game, they're being really vague, which, I mean, they always are. And it's probably the most frustrating thing about following and covering Nintendo is that everything that they do is always so vague. And it's just like we don't ever get details until like right before.
Well, it's sort of like I read an article... related to the Nintendo Direct, and someone asked head of translation at Nintendo America why they do a bunch of sequels. And they said that they don't always look at making a sequel. They have an idea for gameplay, and then they fit that to, does this work for Metroid? Does this work for Zelda? Mario? Does it need a whole new franchise to support it? And they basically say that, obviously, when you attach a new piece of gameplay to an existing franchise, like, say, Luigi's Mansion... That was sort of not done before, but with the Luigi sort of Mario Kingdom name, it makes it a easier sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why everything's so vague, is because they say, like, for example, here's a new gameplay piece in this next Zelda game. and it's, you know, everything's sort of vertical, using the 3D really well. Like, there's a lot of scenes in the trailer where Link is hitting these trampoline things and going up a level, and it looks really cool. You're not just going up steps and transitioning. Mm-hmm. But there is no talk of story, just, like, basic setting, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's the reason, but even then, like, for example, when they announced the Luigi DLC for New Super Mario Bros. U a couple months back, they just said, yeah, we're making a Luigi expansion, guys. It's going to be fun. Moving on. You know, it's almost like they said...
Well, wait, what?
Yeah, it's almost like they said, oh, you know what we should totally do? This is the year of Luigi. Let's make a Luigi expansion, guys. All new levels with Luigi. Great. Chip, print, make a logo. We'll show them gameplay in, what, 2 months?
All they did is they just took Mario, stretched him a little, colored him green, and then called it DLC.
Well, it's funny.
It's like, you're playing as Luigi.
And he does the flutter jump.
Yeah.
But what they literally did for the logo is they have new... It's like new, and it says Luigi, and then Brothers is stricken careful. Out with green paint. So it's like, Luigi can't even make his own logo. He's like, yeah. So lazy.
Oh, poor Luigi.
Mamma mia.
So they also mentioned that the Virtual Console, that basically the Wii U is getting a system update. And so that is next week, and that is going to bring the Virtual Console fully to the Wii U. So, I mean, you have a Wii U, so you're familiar with what the functionality of it is right now. Like, what exactly are we going to be getting out of this? Like, I know I saw stuff like you can transfer things from different USB sticks and... Apparently that's a thing.
I don't know what that is. It might be, like, maybe there's an issue where, say, some of the games you download from the eShop are so big that you have to install them to an external drive. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a situation where you start with a smaller external drive, then someone says, oh, here's a terabyte drive. It's like, oh, well, I'll use that for my Wii U and get rid of this 500 gig. Well, maybe there isn't an easy way to transfer data. I don't know. Right. But it doesn't apply to me because it's all on the Wii U for now, but the Virtual Console, I think, is more probably just going to be a section of the eShop.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just sort of like...
Well, that's what I didn't really understand, because as far as I gathered from what you've said and everything else, is that you can already buy games. So, I mean, the Virtual Console coming to Wii U, that must mean all of the past titles, like not current stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they're talking about?
It's funny. You get back to the point where we were talking about Nintendo doesn't give us any details.
That's true.
Just say
it's coming next week, and we're still not going to tell you about it.
Yeah, like I don't know what it's going to be. I figure it's the ability for me to transfer my licenses from my Wii mode to Wii U, so I don't have to boot into.
Wait,
that
they still
mode.
Haven't done that?
In the sense that I can transfer my licenses.
Mm-hmm.
No, because we're waiting for all the virtual console stuff to come over, and they haven't even confirmed whether. You know, all of my titles are coming over right away, whether it's going to be a staggered launch or not.
Well, I think it is. As far as I understand, most titles from the Wii and the GameCube will be coming, but I think it only goes as far back as the 64. There was something about the 64, where either it goes back to and including the 64, or just back to the 64, so just Wii and GameCube, but there was something about the 64 being like the line, and they were saying that they were porting everything, but not before the 64. I'm sure that will come, but it's going to be a while.
They're saying NES and Super NES only for now, and N64 and GBA are close.
Oh, okay. So I had it backwards. So
yes, I would love to see GameCube games on the VC. That would be great, because
there were some really solid GameCube titles. Yeah. I mean, I played through Buffy like 4 times.
I think we talked about this like when we first started this podcast, and I just remembered that you played Buffy on GameCube a lot. I'm trying to think of a GameCube game that hasn't really been remade. Like Wind Waker is an obvious one, but it's getting remade, but maybe Eternal Darkness, I guess. I remember really enjoying that.
I guess Wind Waker was just on the GameCube, but then, I mean, the next Zelda title was on both the Wii and the GameCube.
Right.
That was Twilight Princess, right? It was split between the two. So the GameCube actually had kind of a pretty short life. I don't know why it was not that popular. I really, really liked my GameCube. I really liked the controller, and I thought the game selection was good. I played a lot of Tiger Woods, too, actually, come to think of it.
Weird. Tiger Woods and Buffy. That's an odd combo.
I have eclectic game tastes, okay?
Golf and vampire blondes, I guess. Was she blonde in the game?
Yes.
Blonde? I don't know. I don't know. Buffy! I assume Buffy was blonde. Just based on the TV show and movie, you know, that's it. Yeah, shake your head, because, I mean, I don't know. The other thing they're launching next week is supposedly this speed boost patch that's going to make me be able to quit a game without having to go get a drink because it's taking too long. Because it literally takes, like, sometimes 30 to 45 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I know it sounds like a lot. I know it sounds... when I say it out loud, it's like, Ryan... you entitled son of a bitch, you know?
So this basically is the rage quit patch.
It's making the console act like a next generation console. Yeah. Like, it's not, they're not doing themselves any favors. It's like...
I find that that's the biggest problem with the Wii U, is that it doesn't feel like next gen. It feels like they're just barely caught up to where, and in a lot of cases, they are not caught up to what... Xbox and PlayStation have been doing in this generation, so to call it a next-gen console, I don't even think that that title should apply.
Caught up is sort of the words we've been using a lot to describe what Nintendo's doing, and you're right, it's like quotation caught up, because they're not there yet, and they probably won't get there, just based on the sole limitations of the hardware, but also just based on the fact that Nintendo doesn't want to do what Microsoft and Sony are doing. So we're not going to see achievements. We're not going to see, you know, as much
as... social aspects.
Well, I mean, the Memeverse is their social aspect. And in some cases, it's more social than what you get just on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. But it's not like, I'm going to buy Assassin's Creed 3 on Wii U so I can play with my friends online. I tried the online mode for that, and I could never find a game. So, like, that whole portion of the game is crippled because I can't play it.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, it's broken, but, you know, Miiverse is just booming with really, like, people are really, you know, getting in there and they're, you know, drawing cool things, and it's just,
Is it just full of penises and boobs?
Because no, it's not.
Pretty much, whenever anyone, that's...
it's not YouTube comments. It's not YouTube comments.
I don't know, man. Every time that anyone gets just creative freedom in any kind of virtual space, that seems to be the first thing they do. I'm going to make the biggest penis the world has ever seen.
The Ninja Gaiden 3 Miiverse section is kind of filled with screenshots. The costumes for the characters are, you know, Japanese. In the sense that there's not a lot of clothing on the optional costumes. So people are taking screenshots. So that's probably as close as it gets. Because when you're in the game, you can push the home button and go to the Miiverse and post what's on your screen, which is really cool. But there's no way to get it out of Miiverse and into an interesting social network. You know, like, I can't export what I'm saying on Miiverse to Facebook or Twitter. That's sort of where it's broken. But I think Nintendo's actually working on that.
I don't know. I kind of like the amount of interaction that I get with Xbox. It allows me to friend the people that I want to friend very easily, and it allows me to see very quickly who's online to play with, who's not, and what they're doing. And there isn't a whole lot of the extra crap. There's not a lot of Twitter, Facebook stuff. Like, you can tweet from your Xbox. You can post to Facebook from your Xbox if you want to, but it's not in your face, like you have to do it all the time. It's very much secondary to the thing that you're there to do, which is play games. So it lets me see who of my friends are online, it lets me see what they are playing, and that's pretty much it. That's all that they're giving you, and it lets you compare your games, compare your achievements. Like, you know, when I'm on my Xbox, I'm there to game, and I want to look and see what my friends are doing and how well they're doing at it, and maybe if I see someone who has 800 of 1,000 gamer points on a given game, I'll be like, oh, wow, clearly that's a title that I should be playing because they're really enjoying it. So, you know, I get everything I need to from, you know, achievements, gamer scores, all that kind of stuff. I don't really need much more than that. And to me, the Miiverse, like, all I keep thinking is the whole Mii Plaza from the Wii. And, I mean, it's just, it's a whole bunch of people just kind of randomly walking around. And I know it's probably grown more out of that with it being their next gen. But I feel like it's not, I don't need that in my game console. Same as I don't need all of that in something like Steam or Origin, or which I found out Origin was randomly running in the background for the last 2 days. And the only reason I realized is because I was sitting at my computer and all of a sudden it was like, Iceflow has gone offline. I was like, offline in the what now? Like, what is this? Where is this coming from? And then I was like, oh, Origin.
I find Origin makes sounds when people log in and out. So that's what I'd be hearing.
The thing is, I was hearing the like ping pong of people coming on and off and stuff. And then it was just, I happened to be actually looking. I think I wasn't running something full screen. So, and then I actually saw the notification pop up and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. I'm right there with you in the sense that like the Steam community, I only use it for tech support and whether to figure out if a game is worth
playing. Getting, yeah.
And I do that with Miiverse as well. I don't go in there and just like, I'm going to check how the Miiverse is doing. I only go in there to be
yes, you do. I bet you even have a crown. You're like, I am Ryan, queen of the Miiverse, because no one else is here.
It could have at least made me
also,
king,
also, you look
Jocelyn.
Like a robot, apparently, when you put your crown on.
You couldn't make me king? That's just not fair. But
oh, wait, did I say queen? I meant king.
Such a liar.
Sorry.
I don't usually. I've been in there occasionally.
Usually.
I've gone in there to see like if a game is worth playing. People are when The Cave came out, I was kind of in there to kind of judge to see how the performance was on the platform. And you know, usually a lot of people are asking whether the game's worth purchasing, or you know, whether the game holds up on Wii U, stuff like that. And a lot of people post screenshots and talk about how they're enjoying the game. So it's a really cool way to find out how the community is enjoying it. And, you know, it's not the greatest. Sometimes there are, like, really weird comments and weird screenshots and drawings. But it's not
hard. It's a worthwhile adventure.
Yeah, I want achievements so bad on my Nintendo titles. Mm-hmm. But, Nintendo ain't gonna give us that.
Yeah, fair enough. So that pretty much brings us to the end of our show, but we do want to remind everybody that we have an XCOM key to give away. Ryan, do you want to talk about XCOM a little before we go?
Sure. Do we want to give it away this week?
This is your chance to pimp something. Remember what we talked about.
Oh, right. Let me just get... Where'd my purple hat and cane go? XCOM is this great title on Steam... where you play as a team of XCOM units. Yes, it's a great strategy title. Anyways, I'm not doing this very well. I have a Steam key to give away, and we were going to give it away this week with our guests, but we didn't get a chance to do that. So are we going to wait till next week?
We are going to wait till next week because I also totally forgot to upload the videos to YouTube. So anyone who watches on our YouTube channel didn't get a chance to watch it until about 3 o'clock today. So anyone that sends in feedback before next week's show, which as always is 8:30 Eastern on twitch.tv/amovetv, we will be giving away the code next week, which brings us to the end of our show. You can visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com or email us at info@gamersandpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts such as StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Bye!
Bye, everybody. Sorry. Now you can... Counter down!
All right.
I wasn't recording.
Ha ha ha. Are you good?
I'm good now.
Uh-oh, Ryan, stop talking. I think I lost your audio.
Jeez,
sorry.
Jeez, man.
Oh, there we go, you're back.
Now I gotta edit that out. You caught me off guard with the title that you wrote down. So I was like, Pimp XCOM. It's like, XCOM, what is XCOM? Oh! It's this title where you play as dudes and you fight aliens, and then one guy in the chat room's like, it's dudes kill aliens with bullets. Damn it, I should have said that.